KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. We all know coming up this Saturday is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. We have our two friends, Vince Harrison and retired firefighter Mark Chavis, in studio. Gentlemen, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And I want to remind everybody, Vince is a retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department, and he serves as the Calvary Church Safety and Security Director right now. Mark is a retired firefighter, and he currently serves with the Calvary Church Safety Team. Mark is also a chainsaw sculptor, which we've got to throw that in. His website is sandiabearcompany.com. We got to have some fun.
Sure.
And this is a really serious topic. It really is. But gentlemen, you both have served and been first responders and protected our lives, and I appreciate that. I thank you for that. But you continue to do that. And your heart, I know, at 9/11, because we had the same interview last year, your hearts are really affected by this anniversary and what Americans might even be thinking about it. So, Vince, let's go right to you. Why is it important for Americans to remember 9/11?
To honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. This was the biggest terrorist attack in our country on American soil. And it just resonates every single year, and people forget about it. I mean, I was talking to a brother from the radio station. We were talking up at the stairs of Casey the other day, and we're just talking. He said people just forget, and we have a patriotic country, and we got to remember that and support our troops and all those who have gone before us.
Where do you think America is now spiritually?
Dark
after
place.
20 years, dark place.
Yeah, we are, and we always pray for a revival and people to change, the heart of man to change. But we know the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. And we see what happened last week with people trying to get out of the airport in Kabul and the decisions that were made, a lot don't agree with. Last week we had a counterterrorism training, getting enlightened onto what is transpiring around the country and maybe here in the U.S.
And people need to know that that's actually training that you conduct for the church staff and your safety team and other members of the staff here at the church.
Correct.
Preparing for, possibilities, always teaching us situational awareness and other things. So it's very valuable, but the general public may not know that Calvary Church and other churches around the city are doing the same thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of training around the country. Churches are more aware now than ever, and when I was walking over here now with Mark, I was looking at my bracelet, and I've worn this bracelet, this memory bracelet, for 20 years. I've lost it once, and I'll probably go to my grave with it. It's a 9/11 bracelet, memorial bracelet, and it has John DeLara's name on it, and he was an NYPD officer. I know Mark's got one, and just a lot of memories, and we just need to remember and honor those.
Both of you had an opportunity to travel to Ground Zero a few days after the tragic events of 2011, September 11th, 2001. I'm sorry. How did you come to go to New York, Vince? Did you just decide, hey, I'm going to go volunteer and help? Or tell me how that came together.
Well, Mark and I knew each other a little bit, but not real well. Through Samaritan's Purse and the Franklin Graham Organization at the time, they had just started a disaster relief program, and this is what really kicked it off, right, Mark?
Yeah, the BGEA, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, set up a prayer station in Manhattan at a church there, and they were asking for people to come and serve. Pastor Skip, it was a week or two after the event, went out there himself, came back with, he was pretty touched by it. And he said, hey, we're going to put together a team we want to this church and minister to the people out there. And he says, if you're interested, sign up, fill out an interest card. And I thought, well, that's something I'd like to do, but I don't know if they'll accept me or what. Mm. I just said, God, it's in your hands. So I filled it out, and a week or so later, I got a call saying, hey, you've been selected to go. Can you go? And that's how I got to go. Yeah.
And the city was very graceful. I put in a letter to the mayor and the chief at the time asking for time off, and they gave me city time off for, I don't know, 10, 12 days, whatever it was.
You were with APD at the time?
I was with APD, and yeah, Mark was with the fire department. They had asked, basically Skip had come from the pulpit, had asked, said, hey, we want to send a team to Ground Zero. Are there any firefighters or police officers may be interested, or anybody who has a heart to go down there? And so that's where how we both got in, and what a life-changing, eye-opening experience. And so it was... I was going through my album when you asked me last week to come and speak. I was going through the album I keep in my office, and it's like, wow, just...
And we were there. Pictures and things that you took?
Yeah, pictures of Ground Zero and places we went. And
was it shocking? Was it beyond your expectations when you flew into New York?
100%. What the most memorable thing for me is the New Yorkers, the pride and the patriotism and flag memorials. But you go into the busy of Times Square... Everybody's going about their business. It was interesting. Mm. Yeah, it was like you didn't know there was, 2 miles down the road, there was a catastrophe. But it was just the smell, what I was going to say is the smell of the pit, what they called the pit. Almost like so real, like you're right there. I can actually picture it and smell it, the Ground Zero.
Mark, would this be accurate? Vince, just Twin Towers used to stand. We call it Ground Zero. And Times Square.
Yes. Well, first of all, airport, I remember I was talking to a fella about, this was really wrong what they did to us, and there was another guy in the shuttle van that said, well, we did this to them. We deserve this. And I was like, what? So there was this, you could see there was this imbalance of perspectives, worldviews. Got to Midtown Manhattan and checked into the hotel, and it's like Vin said, life was going on, but with one difference, one caveat was you saw cops and firemen from all over the world everywhere walking around in their uniforms, and it made me proud.
Yeah,
I was kind of overstruck by the buildings and everything, and that evening I went, I was with a couple of firefighters from California. We were escorted down to Ground Zero, had to go through a bunch of checkpoints. National Guard was keeping a perimeter there. But when we got to the pit, it was just surreal. This smoke rising and just, it looked like ants crawling all over this big pile of debris, firefighters and police searching for anything. It hit me then that, man, this was an attack on the United States, on the people of America. Before it was just like, oh, the poor firefighters over there in New York, and that was terrible what happened to the New Yorkers. But when I actually was there and saw it, I realized it happened to us, to all of us, this our nation.
I hope I'm going to say this correctly because I don't want to minimize anything that happened. But I also think both of you observed unity at the scene after the event. It's like in this area... Americans were together. We were taking care of each other. We were trying to rescue people. You went as a prayer team, and you ended up being able to reach out and have some personal conversations with a lot of people. Do you think that unity is faded?
I think what it's done is it still brings every 9/11. I mean, we were at our counterterrorism training. And even in our office for our briefings, we're asking, where were you when 9/11 happened? And I realized the age difference. That's been 20 years. And some of the people, I was in my classroom in elementary school or middle school. I'm like, whoa. Right. I remember that day when it happened. I was actually at the police academy. We were doing training. And they ran in there and said, hey, everybody, we're taking a 15-minute break. They turn on the TV. And Tower 1 was on fire. And... we were sitting there watching, and everybody's just glued to the TV. Everybody's probably 50 of us in that room. It was an MOE training for the police department. Anyways, the second tower was hit. Everybody shut off the TV and said, everybody go home. We're going into Alpha Bravo. Nobody knew what was happening. We knew it was an attack now. And it's like, it's kind of just, I think, with the time, people have forgotten. But our servicemen, our military personnel, firefighters and police officers have not forgotten. You see patches, you see coins, you see, it's we will never forget. And that's one of the conversations I had with, I remember his name was Vince, Capello. Anyways, he was a New York, New Jersey police officer. He was there, and we were talking at the pit and outside of it, and he's just angry. He was just furious, and he's like, we got to get him. You know, and that's what we saw was a lot of anger, because it was, especially New Yorkers and people from New Jersey and live in that area, it was personal. How could they come into our city and do this? And so that resonated across the country over the next few weeks after 9/11. We can't never forget. And yes, That's what I want to make sure people understand. We can never forget. Once you do that, lose sight of that, then it happens again.
Vince, the truth is, though, that Americans don't remember a lot about our history. They don't remember, why did the forefathers go to the trouble they did to have a constitution, to design a republic the way they did? Somebody was telling me the other day about the democracy. And this was a young person, and I said, you know, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic. And do you understand the difference? And they sat down with me, and I had a chance to talk to them a little bit about that. And I said, the important thing is that the majority is never going to overrun the importance of the individual. Now, I think that the majority, and there's people like yourselves, where you do, and your actions in your job are to benefit the many and to sacrifice the one. Yourselves. You've put your lives on the line for us. Again, I think that's profoundly important. But when I looked at all of the things that happened after George Floyd was killed in our country, and I started seeing people attacking the police and even the fire department, right, I thought, what in the world are we doing? We've forgotten 9/11. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, through all this, when we came back, we had time to resonate before we and meet and contemplate with, write down on a journal the day before we left. And I was going through some of those notes and looking at them last week, and I just kind of like, wow. I mean, God opened some doors there in New York to talk to people that were hurting. Even people on the streets, they were confused. Mm. How could a God who loves us make this happen? And it was David Letterman, I think we were in front of. We walked at 2 in the morning. We were walking downtown after we left the pit. Different people were walking around in the hot zone. So the city was open as long as it was around. It wasn't in the hot zone, in the inner perimeter. And these people just walking around like confused. Why? What's going on? Why did this happen? And just almost didn't have hope. So what we were able to do, and it was neat through Samaritan's Purse, is to be able to bring hope to those people. And like Mark said, you saw guys from British Columbia the police officers from Russia, police officers from all over the world, and firefighters from all over the world that were coming to help, not just the United States.
Yeah.
And that was where we talked about unity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The unity it was great to see that.
Yeah.
And it still resonates here in America because it was on our soil.
We are in studio with Vince Harrison and Mark Chavis. They both had a chance to visit Ground Zero after the tragic events of September 11th, 2001. Today is this coming Saturday is the 20th anniversary of those tragic attacks on America. It didn't just happen in New York, also happened at the Pentagon and
Shanksville.
In Shanksville. And we just are wanting everybody to think about that, remember it. And, Vince, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those personal conversations and the ministry that you and Mark had with some individuals. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
You're listening. listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Retired firefighter Mark Chavez is in studio, along with retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department and current Calvary Church Safety and Security Director Vince Harrison. Gentlemen, you're gracious to be here. I know this is a highly emotional charged event, and probably, Vince, this is going to be a very emotional question for you, but at what point did you kind of realize, and Mark, you feel free to chime in on this, about the extensive loss of life just at Ground Zero in New York?
Just thinking back, I mean, I think what Mark hit it on the nail on the head. When you got to Ground Zero, and you saw the smoke still, some of the fire, just not the fire, but the smoke coming out of the pit. They would stop what they were doing. They had cranes. They had rescue workers digging. I mean, if they found a cloth that looked, or a piece of a boot or a patch, they would stop. I'm getting chills now thinking about it. They would stop what they were doing, and everybody would stand at attention, and they would go down and recover whatever it was and bring it out. Now, if there was a body, they would have it was just amazing to see the respect they had and dignity for human life. That's when it became real. There was the FBI had a big forensic team there. They had, I think it was with Staten Island, Mark, they took the pile, took the rubble too.
Yeah, Staten Island. It was
so they would take the whatever they found, and they would go through the material and run it through the grate, and kind of sift through it and find any material that could bring evidence. I mean, part of the towers, and they were taking that to Staten Island on ferries, and there was a rubble.
So there were parts of the airplanes.
Yeah.
I apologize, but there were parts of people.
Yep.
Yes.
All of the rubble just kind of ground up the people.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to discern who was who and what was what, but yep. You would find firefighter helmets. As a civilian, and again, I'm really thankful for our first responders. I hope our listeners are thankful and pray for our first responders today. But you're both trained to run to the fire. Vince, you're trained to run to gunfire. Mark, you're trained to rush into a burning building. And yet the firefighters that did that perished in the collapse of the building.
Yes. You know, going back to your question about when the realizing the extent of the deaths was, I was at the fire station that morning, and we were just having a cup of coffee, reading the newspaper, and what the TV was blaring in the background, and they were talking about this fire in New York at one of the buildings. They thought maybe it was a small plane that crashed into it, and we were looking, and we were all commenting like, wow, that's going to be a really hard fire to fight. It looks like it's up about 80 stories, and we were just thinking about the guys humping hose up the stairs and just how difficult it was going to be. And then the second plane hit, and we all looked at each other. That's not an accident.
This is,
and they were kind of hinting around, well, could this be, you know, something nefarious going on here? The newscasters were. But when we saw it, we said, yeah, we knew it was a terrorist attack. But what really hit us is when the first tower crumbled down, we all looked at each other. Oh my God. There's thousands of people in the building, and there's hundreds of firefighters and police in the building. And we all knew what the result was going to be. That's when it hit me the day of. Just confirmed it though, like Vince said, when we were down at Ground Zero and the pile was there and smoke wafting up, and he's right. When they'd find a piece of a person, a body or something, all work would stop and they'd take it out, the body part in a procession. It was really touching and significant. But for me, it was the day of when we saw the first building collapse that we realized, man, this is going to be a horrible, terrible outcome.
Are these memories today when you hear about a first responder killed in action? How does that affect you?
I think not in the same way as 9/11 did for me, but it does. It especially if it's a line of duty death, it just makes me proud and makes me appreciate the sheepdogs that are taking care of us. So many people don't realize just what they put on the line. I brought a picture with me this morning. I want you guys to see. It's a picture of an officer. His name is Christopher Amoroso. He's carrying out a pregnant woman from the building. He made three trips in there into the tower, and before it collapsed on him and he lost his life. But you can just see the fear in his eyes, and he's all beat up and battered, and he's helping this pregnant woman out of the building. His name's very significant. Christopher means Christ bearer, and Amoroso means a lover, person who loves. And it's just very significant that he, no question about it. They kept telling him, don't go back in. People were telling him, it's too dangerous. He didn't have any hesitation, went back in, and the building collapsed and killed him.
Yeah. Vince, we mentioned this earlier. The last 24 months have been unkind. Maybe that's an understatement to law enforcement officers around this country. Hard to explain why. I believe this, and I hope you don't mind me commenting on this. I think that a loss of a person, of any person, George Floyd included, is tragic. But when you really look at the data, the encounters between police and citizens are in the hundreds of thousands, even the millions on an annual basis. And the number of events that happen that could be questionable are so few as a percentage. Again, no life is expendable. Mm-hmm. I don't know why America has reacted the way it has. And so I'm concerned. I'd love for you to encourage us. How can we lift up firefighters and police officers today and make them feel that we appreciate them?
Well, and to answer the first part of your question is the moral compass in our society is in the toilet. We all have a moral compass, and we're born and raised with that. And if you don't have it, you're born and raised with that to not have it. And so I think our country needs Christ. And I see people here that even come to our campus hurting daily, whether it's their drug addictions, suicidal, anxious because of the COVID, loss of job or thereof, not wanting to go back to work because they've gotten, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter who's in office. I think when people start turning their way from God and start depending on themselves, I mean, I heard this one guy say back that, what do I need God for? I've got a job, I've got a wife, I got a house, I got everything I need. So until they hit rock bottom, then they're like, God, why are you doing this to me? So I think the reality is for this 9/11, this year, the 20th anniversary, is to remember those who have gone before us, to understand we need to love our fellow man. Doesn't matter who you are, what race you are, what ethnicity, what God you pray to. I'm a born-again Christian. I've been a believer for 25 years. But I still will talk to somebody who's a Muslim, mm-hmm. because that's what we're called to do. Talk to somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness or anybody else. It doesn't matter. We're all human, and we're made in the image of God, and we need to love each other. When you talked about the Floyd incident, we all are humans, and as of recent, resonating with me is the four officers that were shot several weeks back here in Albuquerque.
Right here in Albuquerque, yeah.
And it's constant. I'm on a bulletin. It's the Law Officer Magazine bulletin that goes out, and then police1.com. Every single day in this country, there's an officer getting shot or injured. And it's the lack of respect. Once again, I personally believe it's the moral compass in our society. You don't respect police, you don't respect your teachers. They're not going to respect your pastor or priest. You don't respect parents. So that's where it comes down to. It's each individual person and the morality. That's what we need to go back to. We need to go back to our first love. We need to go back to where our founding fathers, our country was founded on Christian values. That's what's going to change our country. That's what's going to change the world.
Vince, you say that, and people may not realize this, Christian biblical values, but it provided for the welfare and the freedom of everybody, no matter what they believed.
Yes.
It wasn't designed for Christians.
Yep.
In fact, the interesting thing that I find is when you look at the three branches of government and so forth, those were actually designed to balance the sinful nature of men. You know what I mean? They were smart. Our forefathers were really brilliant. They anticipated the kinds of things that we see going on today.
Yeah.
You know, I was just visiting with Carlos Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition a week ago. And we were talking about, after the census, now we have redistricting for the political districts in the state of New Mexico. And we can't help but bring up the term gerrymandering, which is a term that's been around since our republic started.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to take advantage of the system and make it so that there's an advantage for the Republicans or the Democrats or the independents. And that's just not what our forefathers had in mind. They had in mind that we would be doing things as equal as possible, that individuals, each individual vote would matter. So, yeah, just profound things. Mark, I want to ask you about an article that you wrote. You wrote an article called A Fireman's Journey to Ground Zero. Talk to us about that a little bit. And I'm going to also put some pressure on you. Is that available for people to read?
Well, it's kind of a private thing, but I should make it public, especially now after 20 years. But how that came about is, Vince mentioned about it. When I went to Ground Zero, I kept a journal with me, and I wrote down at the end each night what happened and the things that I did and the people I met and the stations I visited and whatnot. And when I got back home, after about a week, I was trying to just, you know, figure out what was going on, just defuse and all of that. And I started reading my notes, and I says, you know, I'm going to write something about this. And so I kept writing and writing and writing and came up with, I don't know, it's maybe 10, 12 pages of turned it into a little short story.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to read it every 9/11 myself because it brings me back to how it specifically affected me. And I don't know how I could make it available somewhere, maybe online or something, if somebody would like to read it. But
I know a radio station that could distribute that for you.
Well, I'd be honored to do that.
Well, and so I'll just make this announcement right now. If you're interested in reading A Fireman's Journey to Ground Zero by Mark Chavez, he's a retired Albuquerque Fire Department firefighter. Love to get that to you. All you have to do is email me at jim@abqconnect.online. And I'll be happy to return your email and attach that article. It's a neat article. You gave me a copy of it a year ago when we did this show, and it was a real blessing. And I think what I want is on this show is I want people to understand what people are going through. I think so many people that don't know what a Christian is, they have all these preconceived notions. And so, for example, I had a conversation a couple of days ago with somebody that said, well, you know, Pastor Todd at Sagebrush and Skip Heitzik at Calvary and Steve Smotherman at Legacy, these guys think they know everything. And I looked right at him and I said, look, if you ask any of those three men what you should think about their teaching, this is what they would tell you. You should go to your Bible as I'm talking or after you hear this message, and you should check out everything I say to see if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just believe it because I say it.
Correct.
So that's a different perspective than most people have in this world. These are people that are accountable for what they say, and almost every word out of their mouth is not a benefit. Well, it is a benefit to them because they live it, but they're really trying to help other people. And that's just three of the most prominent you know, large church pastors in our community. There's guys with, you know, 50 people in their church. There's women teaching with four people in their women's group, and they are having the same impact. So I don't want to minimize any of that. It's an amazing thing. Vince Harrison and Mark Chavis are in studio with us. We're talking and remembering September 11th of 2001, the tragic attack on America. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect with Vince Harrison. He is a retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department, and he currently serves as the Calvary Church Safety and Security Director. Mark Chavis is a retired firefighter with the Albuquerque Fire Department, and he currently serves on the Calvary Church Safety Team as well. It's just in your blood for you two to take care of people, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's kind of a calling.
It's kind of a calling. Mark, I'm going to go to you and ask you, if you look at 9/11 today from God's perspective, and I know your article that we just talked about in the previous segment talks about this, how can the events of 9/11 help us to heal and to come together again?
Well, first you have to remember, and you have to look back and see what evil can do to a country, to an individual. I mean, just think of a man like Osama bin Laden, to think that killing all these innocent people is somehow helping God, you know, is doing his part and rejoicing and clapping and smiling over the death of thousands of innocent people. There's you have to acknowledge that there's evil in this world, and this world is broken, and there's a dark shadow of evil hanging over the world ever since the fall. And it's not going to be right until Christ comes back and makes things right.
Yes.
As believers, we have to shine a light. We have to be the light in the darkness, the salt that brings flavor to the world, because it's broken. And there's so many broken people. And the events of 9/11 was just a wake-up call for a lot of us, and just that it is broken. It is an evil world. Things aren't going to be perfect in this world. I mean, all of us have family members. All of us ourselves have been through trials. And as the Truth Project says, we're in an epic cosmic battle. And it's not going to end until Christ comes back on the white horse, bringing victory to the world. But in the meantime, what do? We worship. We serve God. We try to make a difference. You know, it kind of boils down to three things. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. To love our neighbor as ourself. And the third thing is to be ambassadors for Christ. Try to help do the most good we can to the most people in the short time we have on this world. And there's some things we can't change. People have to make up their own mind of who they're going to serve, God or man or themselves. That one folk artist said, you're going to serve someone. Yeah. It's either the devil or it's God, but you're going to serve someone.
Yeah, Bob Dylan. You're going to serve somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. but to me, that's what kind of 9/11 did for me, is just wake me up that this isn't, and even our country's not, even though we're founded on godly principles. I remember President Obama said, this is not a Christian nation. I remember getting angry and mad and saying, well, then what is it? But these days, I'm kind of looking around at our country and thinking, well, maybe he was right. You know, there's Christian people in this nation, but our culture is changing, and our world views are changing as a nation very quickly, very rapidly in the last year, 2 years. So what do we do as believers? We need to shine brighter and brighter. And it's not going to be, the world's not going to say, oh, look at Mark, He's such a good guy. He's a Christian. No, they're gonna come after us and persecute us and say all manner of things. They did it to our Lord. Mm. You know, is a servant greater than his master? So we need to be ready for that.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a cakewalk these last days.
I want to go back to police officers, Vince, and I've seen this firsthand. When a man comes at you with a bat, you're like very direct, forceful, but you're still kind. You're still gracious. I couldn't be a police officer because I'm not that. Somebody comes at me with a bat, I'm coming at them with more force. It's almost like, and I feel bad about this character flaw, but I feel like I lose my interest in them as human beings as soon as I'm threatened. And that's not what happens with first responders. You guys have this innate, God-given, and this is men and women, you are willing to give your life for us.
Yeah, it's when you're saying that, it's because something recently happened like that here. I mean, we've people, like, once again, the heart of man, right, is desperately wicked, and we're in those times. But the reality is I never ever worked with a police officer that wanted to go on duty and harm somebody purposely and go at the end of the shift and go home and sleep well. From somebody with a stranded with a blown out tire to somebody choking at a friend in Santa Fe, where Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office last month, he saw this car swerving on the freeway in front of him, an SUV, a nice SUV, and he hits his lights, pulls it over, and the guy jumps out, runs at him and saying, "My baby's choking." He gets up there, they unbuckle the baby. It's a 9-month-old baby, and he puts her over his arm and gives her some Heimlich, some hard thrust on the back, and you know, swept the mouth, and the baby was choking on a sucker or something, and the parents were thankful. I mean, he's in the middle of the highway in Santa Fe, you know, and this is what you do. When a firefighter, my grandson had a femoric seizure, I think it's called. He had a high fever, and he had a seizure. I saw him in the back seat, and he was shaking, and his eyes were rolling in his head. The only thing I could think of, where is the closest fire station? I just flew quickly there as 100 miles an hour to get him there. I knew if I got there to the fire station, I get the firefighters come out. Don't ask any questions. They came out there and helped him, and thank God it turned out to be, you know, a fever. But they're there to help. And as of recent, talking to a firefighter just the other day, he's the shooting of the officers here in Albuquerque. I saw him here at church. He's dropping off his kids, and he's telling me that he was, you know, he's. When that happened, that was in his district. He gets there, no question asked, first responders, helping first responders, you know, helps him out, gets a tourniquet, boom, they're scooping and go. And that's, we're there, you know, police and firefighters here in our country on the streets, they call them the mean streets of the United States of America, do not put on the badge and go on duty to serve themselves. Why would you take a job making $50,000 a year to go and put your life on the line? It's because you have a calling and you love what you do without question. I remember a wife told me the best sound that woke her up when I got home was to hear that Velcro coming off my chest. She knew I was home safe, because otherwise she would, you know, so she didn't worry. And I think that's what every police officer, when a firefighter gets home, I mean, you see a lot. And you got to do something with that.
You know, the scary part with the media today for your families has got to be, as soon as there's an event, it's all over the news. There's video and everything else, and your spouses know you're there. And it's just got to be overwhelming until they hear from you that, you know, you're safe and sound.
Yeah, my son is on the Burnley County Sheriff's Department, you know, under SWAT team. And my daughter-in-law texts me last week, and she says, "Hey, Papa, have you heard from you know, my son?" And I said, "No, what's going on?" She goes, "He got called out on a SWAT call. This was the day after the shooting, and he got called on a SWAT call. He's been out since 1 a.m. It's 9. I haven't heard from him." And so I text him, nothing. I said, "He's fine. Those guys are trained. They are when you have call on the SWAT team, you usually it's a controlled chaos. They control the situation." And I said, "He's going to be fine. Don't worry." And sure enough, he texts an hour or so later, tells her, and he's okay. But now more than ever, police officers, law enforcement, spouses are under more stress than ever because the anti-rhetoric out there. People need to appreciate law enforcement. I mean, everybody loves a firefighter. Mark, because firefighters are good guys, right? I mean, they come in, they're helping people, they're saving lives, right? Sometimes police officers get the bad end of the stick because they're arresting mommy or daddy or uncle or whatever may be the situation. It's not, I mean, no police officer wants to. They're enforcing the laws that were made by the legislation, by our state of New Mexico and in every state in the country. And that's their job, to enforce the laws that are made and instituted by our legislators. You don't blame the police officer. He's doing his job. And so I think we just need to, and once again, and going back to the morality in our country, we need to love our neighbors as ourselves, and things will change until that happens. Like Mark said, until Christ comes back to the earth, things aren't going to change.
Yeah. Mark, go back to some of the conversations you had when you were at Ground Zero. Share one that's most vivid in your memory.
Okay. But first, I want to just add to what Vince said there. You know, when you have somebody coming at you with a weapon or something, part of the ability is not just the calling, but training. Mm-hmm. You know, learning to harness that power and keep it under control and do the right thing. Because if you react the way that this force is coming at you, anger, and then you're going to make mistakes. You got to have power under control, and you got to be, it's better to be proactive and have this training ahead of time and be ready, you know, be situationally aware so that you can handle this situation.
Mark, I would call power under control, biblically, you are a warrior.
It says it's a meek warrior.
Yeah.
Skip, Pastor Skip likes to talk about meekness not being weakness, but power under control. Mm. I think that's what all sheepdogs and police officers, law enforcement, they're trained to take that power in them, that adrenaline, and control it for good. So what was your question again?
I really just want both of you, and we're going to spend probably the rest of the time. We'll take a break in just a minute after Mark has a chance to tell us about a conversation you had with people. Do you have one or two that are most vivid in your memory of your visit to New York?
There was one lieutenant, I can't think of his name right off the bat, but he was at a outlying station in Brooklyn that we went to, and he invited us over, me and these two other firefighters, for dinner, and he made us eggplant parmigiano, which I'd never had before, but turned out to be pretty good. Mm. But him and I got to talking. We went down to Ground Zero, and he was just lost. He was just like wondering, you know, all his buddies, you know, 341 firefighters were killed in the towers, and he was just, some of those were his, you know, there's a lot of firefighters in, I don't know, several thousand in New York, but he knew a lot of those guys personally, and he just couldn't make sense of it. And for me, I didn't have the answers for him. I was just there to listen, and it was profound to me that just the power of presence, you know, just being there, just listening, you know, even though I couldn't think of anything to say to comfort him, to console him, he was really unconsolable, you know, but just being there, just being by his side, listening to him and being non-judgmental, not trying to come up with some cool answer, you know.
Have you ever been in that position where you just needed to talk to somebody?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes. And sometimes, you know, when you get somebody that means well but tries to tell you exactly what you need to do and stuff, you know, it just doesn't really help. But if someone's just there listening and maybe just puts a hand on your shoulder or gives you a hug or something, that means more than anything. I remember a guy after Katrina, one of the chaplains, he said that this lady talked to him for 2 hours, and he couldn't get in a word in edgewise. He wanted to say something. But afterwards, she said, oh, thank you so much. You've helped me so much. And he just kind of shook his head and like, I didn't do anything. Yeah. But he said it was then that he realized the power of just the ministry of presence, just being there for people to lean on. And so I think for me, that lieutenant, just listening to him talk was pretty profound to me.
We're in the studio with Vince Harrison and Mark Chavez. We're going to be back with a final segment, remembering 9/11, 20 years ago, 9/11, 2001, just a tragic day in American history, but something I think we can use for good, and God does use it for good if we choose to remember and think about the important issues of the day. We'll be back. Stay with us.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Vince Harrison and retired firefighter Mark Chavez. Vince is a retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department. Vince, stories that stay in your mind right now, conversations you had with people when you went to Ground Zero?
Yeah, I remember talking to a lot of the officers, but they were just the one when we were at was talking to this agent who was walking out of the scene over at the island where they had the rubble, and he was walking out. He just looked exhausted, just beat up. I mean, they're working probably 20 hours a day processing the rubble in the scene. I mean, you literally could see it from New York City, Staten Island. I mean, that rubble, because it's the island where they take all their trash anyways. That's where the trash is at. But it was as high, it looked like a miniature mountain across the ocean. We had gone to a funeral, a police officer's funeral over there. And it was all done. I saw this guy there, and he's walking. He was wearing this outfit. He had on the white jumpsuit, was walking out, taking it off. And I just, the same thing with, like Mark said, I just listened to the guy. So how you doing? Oh man. Oh, you know, he's, you know, around that time at Ground Zero, you wore your badge around your neck or you wear a police or firefighter outfit or jacket so they could recognize you, and they would let you in. They would let you in without questions because they know you're there to help. Right. And I remember him just talking about, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've never worked this many hours. Why would this happen? And listening to him, and we talked for maybe 15 minutes, and most of it was and just kind of nodding, and you could see his countenance change a little bit because somebody cared, because he's working around these other guys at the rubble site, and just they're all on fumes and they're all emotionally, you know, they got a lot of emotion, anger. That was memorable. I think what's going to be important for me is being able to talk to my grandkids about this. 4.5 and 1 right now. In the next, 3 to 4 years, or on the 25th anniversary, what does this mean? Pulling out the pictures, talking about what happened. Why Papa wears this bracelet, and just so we never forget, the next generation doesn't forget. Because, Mark and I and, the ones who have lived through it and had the black lung, people who have gotten sick from Ground Zero that worked there, there was emergency workers that got sick at Ground Zero. And then you have people still scarred from the Pentagon, people still scarred from the flight, and, where the aircraft went down. There's many heroes that were involved in 9/11, but I think the memory... it's just us to pass it on to the next generation. To me, that's an important conversation that is going to be had in the future.
Mark, I used to train as a firefighter, live with firefighters. You're retired now. Now you're getting a little therapy carving.
Yes.
With a chainsaw. I think that's interesting. But I want to ask you about how your faith and how fellowship and how being around people like Vince has helped you get not just through your experience at 9/11, but through your entire experience in your life. What's it like being a man and being encouraged in Christ?
That's a great question, because, in the fire department, military and law enforcement, you become a family, and you really lean on each other and have a lot of things in common. You hang out with each other, you eat with each other, and, you get very close. The camaraderie is really good. And I found that same type of camaraderie and family just being on the safety team. We train together. We have a lot of things in common with the other guys. And it's really, it's been a blessing to me just to be part of the team and learned a lot, trained a lot. And it's just an extension of being part of that law enforcement, fire family. It's a great thing. That a lot of professions don't have. One of the things that I've learned also is there's a saying that goes like this: pain shared is pain divided. And as men, a lot of times we like to stick to ourselves. We like to be individuals. You know, we don't like anybody to see any weakness in us. But when you go to a hard scene like 9/11 or even out on the street having a fellow officer shot or going to a child maybe killed in, through child abuse or something, it messes with your head. And it's so important to have a debriefing afterwards where you can just say, man, this is how this affected me. Because pain shared is pain divided. Mm. On the other hand, joy shared is joy multiplied. You know, and as believers, we need to, it's a biblical precept of sharing our good times with each other and also bearing each other's burdens, you know. And so being part of this team has helped me learn that. And being a firefighter, you know, we would have debriefings right after every bad call, you know, and it's a good way to just, you know, prevent post-traumatic stress as well.
Vince, I don't want to freak anybody out, but I think people think, oh, yeah, he's on the church safety team. He kind of heads up that ministry. That's kind of like working in the kids area. Or I mean, people don't actually realize there is evil and there are things perpetuated against the church that you take care of. They never even realize.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's what I can say is the threat is real. And just constantly on guard. You've got to be on guard and understand there's evil. I mean, you've from the kids are priority here at Calvary and our campuses and the kids programs and the elementary and preschool and then the children's ministry. Such great servants that help here and the team we have. Other churches are asking for help quite often, so we give them some tips and consult with them real briefly. I don't take as much time as I used to go to their churches and do a risk assessment, but the threat is real. You've got to be aware. Situational awareness is imperative. Knowing your surroundings, and we call it the OODA, observe, orient, decide, and act. I think that's one of the things we've learned since 9/11, 20 years ago, is be aware of your surroundings. If something doesn't look right, say something, you know. So the color codes of our threat levels in our country, but that's what I think is important. Churches have woken up the past 5 years. I think it's tripled the amount of churches that have security or at least train the ushers and greeters, do a vetted background process for the kids ministry, setting up cameras, do their own risk threat assessments. It's changed. And I've seen the dynamic go from about 250 churches in this network around the country to 690, on the faith-based security network. So, but just part, like Mark helps out with the fire and the EMT side of our church security. I help up with the training side. And now Mark is probably one of our best firearms experts on the team. He's taking it to a whole different level. So you take it. I can't do that with the medical side, Mark. I'm not going to become an EMT at my age, but we do appreciate it and we take it very serious.
Well, I thank you both for joining us today. I know this is an emotional topic. I hope that people will remember the events of September 11, 2001. Unbelievable. You know, we talked early on. I was watching Good Morning America. I heard Charlie Gibson, the anchor for Good Morning America, say an airplane has crashed into the tower. And literally right after he started reporting, the second plane hit. And I remember him saying, it is obvious now that this was no accident.
Right.
And I have shivers going through my body right now. So I hope we as Americans will all remember it, and I hope that we will all see how God's used it and to bring us to focus on Christ and what the need we all have for a Savior and the need we have to be forgiven. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.